Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm very excited about our guest today. I have Anne Sieg with me. In a past life, Anne was the godmother of attraction marketing, an expert in building and keeping a loyal following that buys from you again and again for years. When she took her skill set online, things just exploded. Not only an ultra-successful affiliate marketer, Anne was also the mastermind behind the Renegade System, responsible for creating an untold number of 6-, 7-, and 8-figure earners. But even after generating over $20 million in online sales, she wasn't done. Anne took her list of 400,000 or so subscribers and created the e-commerce business school, the premier e-commerce training platform of the internet. From training beginners in local retail arbitrage to organizing sourcing trips to China, Anne's marketing mindset served her well in creating a new generation of e-commerce sellers at any age. Anne's focus through the e-commerce business school is to provide a results-driven entrepreneurial mentoring community. It is my great pleasure to welcome Anne to our show today.
Awesome. It's great to be here with you, Belinda.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I'm excited to dive in here and learn a little bit more. So why don't you just dive in and fill in some of the gaps of that bio? Tell us a little more about your journey and then exactly what you're doing today.
Well, it kind of all comes from the name of your podcast, which is about being in your happy place. And my happy place is being with my family. And so I basically got my start was even when I was 7. I had hand-knitted Christmas bells that I had made. And my mother said, you know, you should take those out in the neighborhood and sell those. Well, what did I know? So she set me up with my very first store. It was a paper box. And in it was some dollar bills and change. And she taught me how to do that. And this was back in the day when neighborhoods were safer. So I went out by myself with my little knitted Christmas bells. I sold them 1 for 50 cents. And 3 for $1, a bundled offer. And I went out and I sold them all. And I'd like to say, oh, that was then when I just really took off in sales. But no, basically, I ended up in the sports world, but looped back into, I'm going to call it direct sales, because that's about as direct as you can go, is ringing doorbells, knocking on doors to sell Christmas bells. And so I was pregnant with my second child, and I was really devoted to wanting to be home to raise my kids. And that's, you know, what I really had just, that was where I was going to be with the whole child rearing thing. And so I was coaching, I coached gymnastics, and I did that in the evenings and on Saturdays. But I also then got into direct sales for the first time when I was pregnant with my second child. And so I just did a lot of that on a, you know, call it a part-time basis. It's pure commission. So it's not like you punch a clock. But just did a number of those. And so this was all pre-internet, by the way. So if anyone can remember those days, it meant you would ask people to have a home party. Belinda, have you ever heard of such a thing, a home party? Did you ever do one of those?
That's the industry I've served for almost 40 years. So I'm the guru of that industry, so for sure. So yes, I've held about 3,000 of those home parties in my career.
I remember now, we talked about House of Lloyd, Christmas Around the World, Mary Kay. So yes, clearly you know it, and I'm going to gather all your members. So we're kind of all swimming in the same pool with that. So I have to admit, I really loved it. It wasn't one of those things where I hated it. I loved doing the home parties, and some of the products were just super, super easy to sell. But things really took a shift and a change when I came in because of the marketing message of one of the companies that just hit me at the right time that I was no longer selling the products, you know, which you got to have an organization, as we know, that's what drives the company. And if it's all just people who are recruiting, well, product has to be sold. So I was one of the product sellers for a good 15 years, 20 years. Then it took a turn and it's like, oh, what's that you say? I can make $109,000 a year by this whole duplication thing, which I pretty much not been interested in previously. I just sold the stuff, and that was a lot of fun. Then I got into recruiting. Well, the recruiting, yeah, I could do it, but I didn't have this vast network that a lot of people might have if they are a realtor, and I wasn't in a work, you know, career space. And so that became a problem for me. And this was after my son had sponsored me. And so when he was 18 years old into this company, won't say the name right now, but all to say, oh man, I just burned rubber and I never looked back. I was going to just do this thing and make it happen because I was trying to get my husband home. And no matter how much product I sold, and I was working primarily with doctors, dentists, health professionals, because I was doing this health awareness seminar. So I led with education-based marketing, which ended up being a godsend for me. They would hear my presentation, and the selling was a complete cakewalk. They would just line up, and it was like a doctor writing orders, and I was selling my stuff left and right, as long as I could get those health awareness seminars. But I wanted to grow faster, and it wasn't growing at the pace I wanted. So it was my son who said, Mom, you got to go online. And that was really the linchpin, was going online. And I got into a consultative selling training platform where if you met certain results, which I liked, I don't want just a certificate on the wall. It's got to be something with results. So I had to recruit so many people, and I would be the certified marketing consultant. So that's what I did. And I was doing so well, I told my son, you should come and work with me, because he then became a top affiliate for Best Western, Walmart, GetResponse, et cetera. And so we partnered up, and that's when we really blew it up, going from $2,000 to $90,000 a month, selling someone else's program. And we thought, wait a minute, let's get the calculator out here. What if it were our own program? And it was a program about recruiting, by the way, that I was selling of someone else's. It was a physical product, a workbook, and some tapes. We thought, what if we could create something? Our profit margins would be so much higher. So we did, and we launched in 2007. And our first ebook, we did $4.2 million with this ebook that basically taught people in this industry, for which you have a longer length of time than me, was, hey, good news. You don't have to do it offline or all offline. You can come online. We'll show you how. And so that's how we built our subscriber list of 400,000, was with our own program of teaching people this. And that's where we created all these very, very big success stories in the lead generation industry for network marketers. So that's in a nutshell, but then I shifted into e-commerce 7 years ago.
Wow. So that is a great story, and it certainly does explain to people how it just takes doing and years of working at something, and then it continues to sort of morph into something else that leads you in a different path. And I think sometimes people look at life as an all or nothing and don't jump in because they don't have everything figured out. And it really is about learning as you go.
Yeah, it really is. And that shift part can be really hard. But the unique thing about that opportunity was, it was actually an MLM, for which that's what I did. I built teams. When I came online, it became just so much easier. As long as I had the automation of my whole lead gen system and the funnel developed, it was a cakewalk. I mean, it was one of those stories where you send out an email, oh, she's the top performer, you know, this kind of a thing. And I'm not saying that always outcompetes with the offline world, because I've seen plenty of incredible stories from the offline world. But basically, it was an MLM that taught e-commerce. So it was kind of like, well, they met me. The e-commerce world met me where I was at, which was building network marketing teams. And it was like, well, my boys did e-commerce in grade school and high school, and my husband still had his eBay account. And so he said, oh, I'd like to give this a try. And when he started making money in less than 7 days, I was like, you know, this is faster than teaching people network marketing. Because as a trainer and a mentor, my greatest satisfaction is seeing results. And it's no matter how you slice and dice it, there's a lot of skill sets with network marketing. It's definitely leadership based. And this basically, by shifting into e-commerce, the whole sales funnel was out of the way. And it is a different model. You're not building a people organization where they're your assets. But when we teach automation through e-commerce, you do have a team, albeit nothing like running an organization, managing that. But it's just so much faster. And so I was so thrilled by the quick results because I trained, I offered, it was on New Year's Eve day, 2013. And so we had this promo webinar and it was my inner circle people. And I exposed this to them. They all jumped in, 100% conversion rate. They all jumped in. They all started making money right away. So I'm like, this is really different. So then I moved forward and I ended up being the top producer in that company because I had a list. I had a list of subscribers. Mm-hmm. But what happened for the real shift was we had already built our own training company that in some regards is comparable to a network marketing company. They create their stuff, you know, a training system around their product line that they're trying to teach people to sell. We were already doing live events. We had a very advanced back office. And so we went flying past that MLM company really, really quickly. Our own marketing, our own training events. And we're like, well, we're already on to the next step. So we just evolved out of that as a stepping stone. It wasn't our intention, but the company also went under, which, as we know, happens a lot. So it ended up being fortuitous that we could just spring forward off of the foundation we had already built, but build it around e-commerce instead.
Gotcha. So what do you think, or what have you identified as two of your greatest skill sets that have really contributed to your overall success?
I love team building. When I had my own gym, I had coached there 12 years such that little girls that I had coached in the sport then became my coaches. So I have a education philosophy that is important to me that I want in place when I'm working with a community of people. And I found that when I outsourced it and brought someone in, they'd have this different philosophy. So anyways, it was natural. It's always been natural for me to team build. And I think it's because my mom was a teacher. So she kicked off a 4-H club. She'd start a poetry club and a writing club and a this and a this and a that. So organizing communities of people for me personally is like breathing. And it's very rewarding and fun. And the other part is I'm a teacher at heart. I just naturally fall into teaching. Maybe sometimes when people don't even want to be taught. I grew up in that environment. So it's those two, building community focused around education. Those are my two passions.
Perfect. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments and greatest challenges. So what's an outstanding accomplishment that you're super proud of?
I think it's probably the speed by which we had success coming online when we leverage a different system. Someone else's for, let's see, it would have been about a year and a half because we got that going. And it was basically, they call it a funded proposal. And so I was selling this product by default. It's what helped me build my organization. But then the biggest accomplishment was my own system to really become independent and not waiting for the proverbial someone pulling the rug out from underneath me. So I would say it was probably that first stamp coming online.
Perfect. Yeah, it's nice for those that adopted early. I think they've been able to, it's constantly changing and constantly morphing, but it's like they've got to experience the beginning of most of those changes, I think, when I talk with people that really had an early adoption into the online marketing arena.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for that because it did end up getting saturated, especially when the Google slap came along and all the peers in my network, everyone was experiencing that slap. And so I had built up a really substantial email list, subscriber list, and I basically literally, you know, they say the money is in the list. I lived off that list for about 8 years and supporting a team of about 10 people. And that was through offers that I would put out to my list. And so it was like, oh, thank heavens that we got the list. built up enough before we got that Google slap.
And yeah, you mentioned that as one of your greatest challenges. So in that, I think it's the same similar thing that's happening today on Facebook, even in some of the other platforms, is people are getting locked into Facebook jail or getting kicked out or booted out. And people need to understand. I mean, we had even really been advised here. I used to have a huge mailing list, and then we kind of didn't continue to build it. We were building social media platforms and online platforms, and the list always dwindled. People leave, people opt out, they go away, and if you're not continuing to fuel that, it's going to start to shrink. And that's what we've really had to put our efforts into, even after 25 years of business, is like rebuilding that list, because list is king. So you would obviously still agree with that.
I do. And mine did get very atrophied. The list that I had for the space I was in was called the attraction marketing space. It did indeed really dwindle down, because in that shift, I didn't have the bandwidth to continue to pump out content related to, you know, network marketing and that whole thing. I had my plate really, really, really full as it was, building this whole new platform for e-commerce training. And so it really dwindled down to where it's nothing like what it was. However, here's a little secret, is I loaded that list up. I went to a conference and someone said, because they were asking about my list. I said, yeah, well, it's just whittled down to practically nothing. He said, wait, how many people did you say? I said, 400,000. Have you loaded that into your Facebook account yet, Ann? No, meaning ad manager. So, boy, I got home and boom, we took care of that. I can't say I really leveraged it, because those are people who still came in from the previous industry, but I built my e-commerce business off the backs of that list of people who had been in e-commerce. And a number of them, significant number, moved forward, such that it really, without that list, I would not have been able to grow the way I did. But I'm still in constant list building mode, but now in the e-commerce space.
Yeah. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, you know, I think back to what was my main driver and motivation when I got into that MLM that was like, okay, this time I'm going to be that recruiter. Because the whole thing was, man, once you build that organization, you know, that residual income, right? Isn't that the magic? The magic of it is the residual income. And I knew that I wanted my husband home. We had a windshield business, and unbeknownst to me, while in this vision that I had, then the state of Minnesota rolled out a new law that basically wiped out our business and many, many other mom and pops. So as fortuitous, I was already getting that momentum on it, but I'm a home person that, I wanted to be with my husband more, because doing the glass business, he was working late nights doing that and on the weekends. And we only had like one or two family vacations, and they were strictly over the weekend, you know, during a 12-year stint, mind you, 12 years. So I wanted him home. And that's what I got. That's what I got in 2006. So he's been with me ever since. And I also really enjoy, there's the solopreneur model and there's the team model. And I really enjoy, I'm a very social learner, and I like working with a team of people to advance my business. And I'm just, to me, I'm happier in that mode, because I love leading people and I love working with people. And being alone building my business, I wouldn't like that. I thrive on that social interaction, and I thrive on the problem solving. I call it the mutual brain trust. You know, the shared brain trust is just the most marvelous experience in the world, to work with people that you've had for years, and you can connect and you do a brainstorm and boom, you got solutions super fast. It's really exciting. I have to admit, it's a more complex business model than a solopreneur, but for me, it's more fun.
Very good. So what advice would you give to others that are saying, you know, wow, I really love to do my own thing. I'd love to be more of a, you know, either e-commerce or online marketing, or What advice would you give to people that are wanting to go down this path?
Well, I have to say my path ended up being forged by happenstance, much of it, meaning a problem would beset me, like the Google slap, and then I had to solve it, and then another. So it was like these hits along the side, and the e-commerce too was all as a result of that. And what can happen as a result of that is you end up with a destination that you weren't necessarily planning on. So what I would really, really impress upon people is, as best you can where you're at right now, think what you want that business to do for you in every way, shape, and form, every aspect of how it's going to affect you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, you know, just lay it all out. And how about the family? Consider that. Where are the lines in the sand? Like for me, one line in the sand is I was never going to let the business get in the way of my marriage. That was like, no game. That, you know, like that's mm-hmm. never going to happen. And so that was my, there's the line, you know. But that way you can more proactively design a business that meets the criteria that you want to have met as a result of your business. And I think that's originally what I had thought I was buying into, this whole big organization and all this residual income. And, you know, and then it didn't happen that way. But it, in that way, you can have a better filter and a better compass to know if what you're looking at has the greatest probability as you compare models against each other, which is so many, so many. Is it going to bring you the end outcome you want? If another example would be this. I really wanted my family to work in my business because I'm really big on that. And they already had, through the previous businesses, in a minor way. So that might formulate into someone's model. But only you can decide, and you don't want someone else to drive that value for you. Mm-hmm. But design the business that gives you the outcome that, yeah, this is what I want. And obviously, there'll be curveballs along the way, but at least you'll have a better filter in place.
Very good. So what are some exciting and new things that you guys are working on that you think our listeners would benefit from? And also, how can they find you?
Well, I would say, boy, it's been 7 years of development. And, you know, when you are your own developer of products, which I've been doing now since 07, for me, what guides me is, because I'm the marketer, I'm the chief marketer. So it's like, what's going to help me most in my marketing is what brings the best results for our members. So we had this training that was all this, you know, go here, and it led all the way up from arbitrage to sourcing China, which I have a son who lives in China and he's a sourcing agent. So it's like, I can cover that whole gamut. But we found that we, as a company, were overextended. And this is when we stepped back last fall and we reevaluated. So I hope there's some learning lessons here as well as where we landed and why we're really, really happy with this kind of, hey, well, let's step back and evaluate things. And we noted all, most of their trainers, they just hung their head on one method. Because within e-commerce, there's many, many, many different methods. And we go, man, he's the expert at that. And she's at, you know, and we're like, let's just hang our hat on one expertise where we really shine. And I'm really glad where we landed. We landed at the beginning. We're not at the super advanced, just kicking it off with Shopify. We started at the most fundamental method, which is arbitrage. But that wasn't good enough. It wasn't a matter of just, this is the best sourcing method that where we can teach and train people, for which we had three different courses relative to that method. But more importantly, what can we dial up to ensure the absolute maximum results for people? So we looked at the behaviors of our people and where is the point of failure? And everyone should look at that and consider it for yourself. And as I described this, because the completion rate for an online course is very, very low, 8 to 12%.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. 8 to 12%. And I thought, well, we're way over that. I'm sure of it. No, I didn't have the hard statistical data, but we thought we want to do better because we don't just have a digital course. We have mentoring. So we look for the point of failure and it was this, and I bet a lot of people will be able to relate. what we saw wasn't necessarily a lack of commitment. Well, they would fall out. But why did they fall out? We saw them fall out because many are still holding a job, you know, so they're doing it on the side. And then we have many that are business owners doing it as a full-time deal. And the point of failure was something in life would come along and put them out of action. You know, like now we got COVID, we got this, you know, there's so many things that can happen. And they would drop the ball for that reason. So we thought, you know what, this is a systems issue. We're going to start with from day one. They are going to have our systems that are repeatable and replicatable. And we're going to get them to have a team right away to run those systems for them, for the mundane task. And so that is what our trainers do. It's they hire from the Philippines. So literally just this morning, we had our weekly staff meeting, and we have a member who follows up with all the fallout, and he gave us the stats. We are at 80% completion of our 90-day peak performance of graduates. They get a certificate, and this is on a value proposition. They will have an automated e-commerce business set up in a 90-day sprint. And we have 80% completion for graduation. I was like, could you say that again?
Wow.
Because we have it all charted out. We know how many missed session one. We know the stats for session two. Like, we are on them because we want the highest success rate in the industry. So it took a really hard look, you know, back in November, December. Where is the point of failure? And someone was interviewing me recently said, wow. And so many people attribute it to mindset. But you're saying it was a behavioral thing, a circumstance. I said, yes. And we mitigated that challenge. So that took a lot of study. Anyways, that's been our big breakthrough, is our 90-day peak performance mentoring program that we have. And now we're looking at, wow, we get them into an automated, the value proposition is an automated, profitable e-commerce business. So not just automated, but profitable. One gal did it in 30 days. So all to say, check the box. So what happens now is, wow, we got this big crop of people. So we got our 10K club, and now we're setting up our 100K club and developing out a new ascension after that, because now they're really ready. They have a team in place to run their business for them. So that's the exciting development. And it's I've been online 15 years. So it's like, this is the best thing we have ever seen.
Oh, that is awesome. Great. So where can our listeners find you and your team?
I would suggest go to ecommercebusinessschool.com. Or joinebs.com will take you there too. It's the same domain that takes you to our homepage.
Okay.
Joinebs.com will take you to a homepage. You can scope it out. There's some free training there and lots of success stories.
Very good. Well, Anne, thank you so much for sharing your story and your expertise and wisdom with all of our listeners today. I'm sure that there's many that are going to be curious and are going to be checking that out, because it is a great success story. I know that completion of courses is a huge problem, and finding ways to get people to do that is going to not only help them be successful, but it helps you out in being successful with people referring you and everything else that they're going to do and saying, yes, this was a great program. So that's awesome. Yeah, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was fun to be here. And I just want to you know, God bless and wish everyone the best in their respective businesses. We're in an amazing space these days. For anyone who's online, I'm going to say we land in the lucky bucket. And obviously I'm speaking about COVID-19, and the clock will not turn back on that. The momentum is really picking up, and it's going to continue to pick up that pace. So really just warm welcome to everybody and to whatever respective business you choose to do and what you're currently pursuing.
Great. Well, again, thanks to Anne, and thanks to all of you for tuning in today. Appreciate you all so much. And if you wouldn't mind just reading the show, that would be great. That helps both of us. And remember to subscribe. That way you won't miss a single episode. Thanks so much, everyone, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.